down and what we're doing here is we will go through the race course first. Then we'll do the other two courses. And just to explain, the race course is normally meant to be dealing with all the race that is done in the party. So, let me start by saying, if you look at the first point in the presentation on the background of the text process, all the text works here are giving effect to the 2017 February budget proposal, as announced by the then Minister of Finance. There's nothing new in the way of proposals. We generally don't try and have any new proposals except those that are announced. So, just to remind ourselves also, it doesn't change with the MPPS. So, although you have adjustment appropriation growth, you have the adjustment division of revenue growth, the original division of revenue growth, the appropriation growth, you've already passed June, July this year. But this has nothing to do with the MPPS. Got everything to do with the February budget. And just to remind ourselves, we increased the top marginal rate to 45%. We do the adjustments to the bracket. We introduced the dividend to 40%. So we increased it from 15% to 50%. We made the usual adjustments to fuel levy, excise, taxes. The new proposal was a tax on food and beverages, but let's just say it wasn't a new announcement. It was an announcement that was already made in 2016 budget. There was another issue of the foreign employment income tax exemption for, in respect of Southern residents, those who work overseas. There was some changes. Update for accounting systems of banks and financial institutions. And there was the use of the usual avoidance measures, so the one that they had was the sky sale of shares using share buyback, the biggest one, I think it was the biggest one. So these proposals are normally done through two sets of legislation. The one set is the rate and monetary amount of growth, which really is meant to be a simple growth. It's meant to just say, this is how we change the personal income tax bracket, this is the 45% rate. The change should be simple, it's just changing the number. Because life is not always so simple. The hope was, if we only change the numbers, that it could pass through Parliament. And for that reason, this bill was actually published for public comment on budget day, on the 22nd of February. The hope has been that Parliament has a process that is fast, you know, at least 3 months. Can I just say, Chair, if at this point you look past this bill, cause a bigger crisis, so you have a bit of a, you're under pressure in the sense that the text proposals, once they're announced, like you're scared today, get implemented immediately. The increased subsidies get implemented immediately over the 1st of March. The PIT scale will take effect from the 1st of March. The law is not there yet, but the law enables us to start doing that. Because at the end of the day, the tax is measured against your annual income. So if, for example, this bill is not passed, we will now have to start handing back money to taxpayers. Especially if you have seen the installation in the tax. Then we have, but as I said, life is not always simple. In this case, we introduced the health promotion levy, I won't go through that. The main text proposal then is Ezra. like at the end, so it's wrong to say that HIV doesn't cause AIDS. You say that attitude, but you don't want politicians or economists or mathematicians to decide what the science is. You need to get the people who are certain fields. And they write papers, research journals, and they're doing it. We're not trying to let them take the time. What we did say is, having composed the text, we'll look at the future, jobs, so on, and then look at the mitigation factors in the state. But the right thing to do is to do something about the fact that we have these problems. And as much as the industry can do, which is to lower the sugar content and supply the price, and just enough for the why then to wait for the text to do it? Okay. They care less about the difficulty then than they do now, I don't know. Anyway, so it's been a long process. We went to NEDLAC. We tried to deal with each constituent, each concern, and the Senate Committee on Finance only adopted the rate for finance. It was a very long process. I'll come back to this position. The TLAB went through a more straightforward process. There are processes there, and we'll come back to the TLAB. So, Chair, I don't know how much you want us to get into the detail, but what we then deal with in the way to go, and we'll deal with the health information that we have to do. But as I said, the first issue is 25% of taxable income. About 1.5 million. Do you want to just go through it? So I'm getting to the slide here.
Thank you.
Thank you. and the country was established. And at that country, we had that we also them attack based on volume. If people can control them based on volume, it becomes difficult in a sense that, or it becomes unfair in a sense that if you can say, for example, a product based on a liter, say a liter of this beverage would be 1 gram. You'll have a beverage, two beverages, they have different levels of sugar, but then if you just base on a liter, they will pay the same rate. It will have nothing to do with the sugar content of the beverage. That's why the focus has always been on the sugar content, which is what we want the behavioral change to be on the sugar content of the beverage, on, unlike just on the quantity of the product. So it has always been the second thing will be the sugar content of the beverage. And we maintain that in the delegation to say it will still be the sugar content of the beverage. But what we have done is that from the consultation process, people were concerned about that if we test from the first gram of sugar in the product, basically the tax burden becomes quite high. We should have an approach where we set a threshold that industry can target where it's below the threshold they don't pay the tax. So we looked at what other jurisdictions are doing in terms of the design, and we decided that we will put a tax-free threshold of 4 grams per 100 ml. Basically it means a teaspoon per 100 grams, because currently the products that are there are out in the market, you get for a 380 ml, you can have a product which has about 8 teaspoons, which is quite a lot of food. So we said we will make an allowance for a teaspoon of sugar per 100 ml at the first time to reduce again the sugar the tax burden, because there were issues around the impact of the tax in terms of the tax rate that has been there. Now, in terms of the tax rate, initially we started at a 2.29 cents per gram of sugar, which equated to about 20% of the base on the most popular brand, the Coca-Cola brand. We took the price from there and equated to 20% of the price. Because when we did our research, the literature indicated that to have a very significant impact in terms of the reductions in the sugar content of the beverages and on obesity and consumption, the tax has to be set at 20%. So basically then the 20% based on the most popular sugar beverage equated to a tax rate of 2.29 cents per gram.
So maybe we can come back to this. So if members go to this diagram, this slide.
That's the next slide.
So that gives you 13.2 grams.
means that the tax goes to 35 so, and it goes, then you multiply that by 2.1 cents, and then 51.8 times 2.1 gives you 45.78. If we had done the full amount, so let's say the same rate as 2.1, it would have been 35 times 2.1, so that would have been about 70 cents. So you can see that this is quite a significant reduction. Now, check, let me tell you, this is the start. Don't want to say that we can tell you. If the fight against the obesity still doesn't succeed, we will increase it. Okay? We will increase it. We're not losing. So it's up to the community and everybody to decide that we actually are free, because the criticism is that we're not taxing it high enough. We're going to tax it high enough so that it matters. But this is a start. The fact that we talk tax has already got the ability to start lowering the sugar content. And that's a good response, because what we said is the industry can reformulate and they can be less sugar. And that's the response that we want. Is it enough to bring down the obesity? Well, the time will tell, but it's in everyone's interest to make sure that we don't have to be overweight before the obesity. As it goes down, we will be. But at this stage, look at the rates then, sorry, this one is here, so, because we are not imposing the tax for them. In fact, we hope to get zero. Because if it gets zero, it means people are not consuming sugar beverages. Okay? So that's a point. Okay? They won't like the metric, but they can tell what a pain. But the point is that we, it will never get to zero, so that's why don't be taken in back, because sugar is also addictive. That's in fact worse than cocaine in terms of its addictive capacity. And you've got to wean people off it. And the price mechanism is one, education is the other. There's quite a few initiatives that you need. If you look at the price then for 500 milk, it's 69 cents. So, for a liter is 1.58. So that gives you a sense for how it would work. You want to go back to your slide.
So for going there to slide 16. Now this is, let's have a discussion around the tax rate. Also with the weather threshold in terms of how it works. And so basically this revision, the combination between the introduction of the threshold, which means that the start to go up, and the lowering of the rate from 2.29 cents to 2.1 cents, it is raised to about 12% of the price, instead of the initial 20% that they were looking for. So basically, we have lowered the rate, the effective tax rate. Now, with regards to the exemption, the initial proposal had exempted 100% fruit juice and vegetable juice, and also milk products with no added sugar. And that was precisely because with milk products with no added sugar, we recognize that there are balances in nutrients and which are quite important. And I think their intention is that with no added sugar, just pure milk, we recognize the nutrients in the product. So in this phase, we have excluded milk product, and also 100% fruit juice. Because in our research, with the sort of like a lot of scientific papers that have been done on anti-epileptic drugs, depending on whether you have fibers or fibers and what have you. Then you said recently with the evidence up to this now is in terms of for the Dextera and also for the digestive. In all of them, they provided that those carbon in the not used as a sugar. So, yeah. And we have maintained that exemption after the public hearing, that we maintain the exemption of and also but then, once the science is when established around this product, that will be probably done. And then again, I think looking at other jurisdictions that have implemented the tech on sugar beverages, unprecedented food juice and vegetable food and milk, has been excluded from the. And I think, Chair, literally, in terms of the design of the tech,
so Chair, just to conclude, so getting back to that again, so what we're saying is 35 grams is roughly about 30 grams. being fully fruitful, then they say, go forth and then they process any issues with the fruits that they are from. And secondly, and importantly, from what they want to get, is there anything new that they want to get?
Off. Thank you. last one is an interesting one. Your members will be aware we have some very substantial new rights to the Common Customs Act 1964, which were passed in 2014, the new Customs Control Act. That's a huge, huge project. We're working very hard on it. And one of the things that we're going to need to do is make some rules about how people can apply for certain kinds of rules to the Act and then consider the applications. Now, if we only do all of that when the new Act comes into force, what do you do for the first few months whilst you're still busy considering the applications, whilst you're still doing some of that preparatory work? So we looked around and found that the provision in the Interpretation Act which deals with this, but in very broad terms. And essentially it says that what you can do is you can treat an act that has been passed as if it's in force before it is in force for the purposes of doing something to prepare a paper. So we've taken that provision, we've made it more specific and we've written it to the Customs Control Act so that you can in fact do the preparatory work for those applications. Administration was
thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you mind. I don't know where you got the financial sector regulation from. Bring it back on slide 13. Yes.
Not to bore anybody, I was looking at this one on the taxation laws of But again, I want to reiterate, we cannot honestly with due respect save your 9 years.
Thank you. Subject for debate.
There's a lot of debate around this issue. But well, I just
So, and sugar in a solid form is processed over a chip, unlike heavy rose flour. And in terms of quality, they have different concerns. But not to say that the sugar in a solid form is not incompatible with the process. And another important thing is that the sugary beverages, from a nutritional point of view, they don't add anything in terms of nutrition. And if you look at, refer back to the slide that I showed about the design, to say
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, in the United States, the
certain. The front of your is my colleague, my house of entity of the today. I've got my level of knowledge, where I initial the feeling of the profession. What is this and what is the thing for the problem that is done? Everything is the problem. One of the questions is that for the intention of that, it says that we are not having a security of the
for not sending us earlier, they said I should send a written submission so that my presentation also is included. Okay. So the big question is why pen? Why should I bring pen? Sugar cubes are a major contributor of obesity and energy. Not according to me, but according to research. South Africans are among top 10 consumers of sugar cubes in the world. South Africa is the most important country in sub-Saharan Africa. There are 10,000 new cases of diabetes in this country every month. Diabetes has become the number one killer of women and an overall killer of South Africa. And you can look through their pictures. I think we all familiar with those pictures. We've seen our grandmothers, our mothers struggling with obesity. We've seen our uncles and aunts struggling with amputation due to diabetes. We've seen our children and also our neighbors and youth struggling with people who do not have enough children or a family with complications. So if you look at the left line, it shows that drinking one sugar drink a day increases your adult likelihood of being overweight by 27%. And your child might increase by 5%. So, then another one slide that says drinking 1 to 2 sugar drinks a day increases the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. So the question is why 10? So drinking a sugar drink 10 is because according to other cultural experiences, it shows that when the sugar is in Texas, they reduce consumption. Then I'll speak further about other reasons why it takes. Then the other slide is around manipulating microphones. So we have all seen microphones everywhere. I'll speak about that second last time. We have seen microphones targeting poorer communities, targeting children, and also targeting food. We are all familiar with that ad of the teenager proposing to make, I think, present the answer to a maid dinner, and they are using Coca-Cola. That's targeting teenagers. Then we are all familiar with billboards around our neighborhood. We are all familiar with young people drinking sugary drinks, especially children around 1 to 5. So the point that I'm trying to make here around manipulating marketing is that advertising plays a very significant role in our decision. If you move around or drive around a place where you're bombarded with marketing of non-nutritious products, then we are likely to decide to also, you know, create that product. If you know a new called the program, you know what I'm speaking about. Then the cost of diabetes. So only this year, we have spent 1.6 billion in diabetes. And it's not, you know, not something that is shocking, because we all know that stroke, amputation, heart diseases, kidney failure are very expensive to treat, and most people do not even afford to treat those diseases. So there's also scare tactics that Beth has said other Beth industries have been using around the world. So when this debate, sugar tax debate started, we had that there will be plus minus 5,000 and this is not new at all. The tobacco industry used the same strategy 20 years back, and even today we have the tobacco industry. The only difference is that they're somehow, let me say, reformulated their product. For instance, we had your Hazelden, your Corti, your Present Day, and all that, but now we have lesser, more dangerous tobacco. So, and also the number of people so sugar drinks would definitely help, and also mosquito But I think we also need to also remember that there are 12 apostles, there are families that lose the breadwinner of the family, or they are trained or whatever, they have to stop waiting because they are sick. We also need to think about that. Not only 12 apostles to be or whatever. Then there has been lots of delays. But I would like to applaud the Standing Committee on Finance and also the National Treasury on how they have handled the whole procedure or process around sugar and tax. We have four companies here upon the well-being of our people. because at the end of the day, it's all about South Africa, it's all about our well-being. And lastly, I see as the youngest person who participated on this whole debate, sugar debate, and on behalf of Sila, by the way, I'm important, I say make no mistake. These diseases have been genetic proportions. And if we don't act now, then we will pay later. We cannot afford to be a sick and bankrupt nation. We need to act now. There's been a fair process that Stanford has followed, now to the national patient. So I say we should not delay the implementation of this fact. This is what South Africa needs. And we need to act now. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
far above the average, more than 2 times what the global average is of consumption. So the tide is also growing. So between 2001 and 2002 and 2015, there was 50% growth in per capita in the industry. And a lot of that is due to the marketing, and the marketing board was defined, including how this product is priced, which is a mechanism that has to be success. And then going forward, we also see that sales of these drinks are projected to grow. So the problem is that rather than just kind of successful. So, you know, questions were raised on why the focus on sugary beverages in particular rather than sugar in general. And I think it's a matter of the scale of the harm of the nutrients. You know, so sugar and carbohydrates in general, you know, lead to weight gain. But it's also sugary. So when you imbibe the liquid sugar, there are a number of mechanisms which cause that to have a greater harm on your body. So the first is that because it's in liquid form, you're able to ingest a lot more sugar than you would if you ate it just by virtue of sticking it in the blood. Because it's in liquid, you don't feel full. So you consume more than you would, you compensate your calories and you eat more food. Because you're not as full from if you've eaten the same amount of calories rather than drunk it, you wouldn't be feel full and you wouldn't eat as much as you might if you just drank. So because the sugar is in liquid form, it's processed very rapidly by your body and it induces a big metabolic response where your pancreas has to mediate the glucose levels in your blood. And that's where the diabetes starts. If you put this pressure on your pancreas over and over and over again, your body loses its capacity to continue responding in the way that it needs to maintain an appropriate state. So that's really the source of the diabetes. And so, I'm a health economist, but the epidemiologists have studied this. It's like climate change is the randomized trials, observational studies which follow people over time. If you even look at cross-country data, aggregate cross-country averages, you find that countries that consume more sugar are more likely to have obese populations than countries have higher. So the key risks are obesity and the associated complications with that. And then diabetes is really very, very so the taxes is one way of addressing the harm caused by the drinks. The WHO, the World Health Organization, is now very advocating for the use of this kind of tax policy, particularly for sugar-sweetened beverages due to the particular market before. They advocate for 20% tax, and they call for taxes on the sugar content of the because it creates incentives for producers to either to market healthier drinks or to reformulate, but it puts a concrete incentive in place for them to do this rather than just promises that cannot be enforced. So move to the next slide. For the consumer side, the mechanism is price. So the basic law of economics is that when price goes up, demand goes down. And what we have here are two plots of this kind of sales of sugary drinks against the real price.
Sure.
And what you practice, you go, you know, 2 to 4% reduction in obesity. Which translates to, you know, 500,000 reduction in your body. Which is not going to end your obesity at the end. And that's why, you know, we kind of go for, you know, range of policies.
If you heard any legislation, what impact does
The chance that they raise is confirmed, and I think that having the presentation.
making disciples successful. You know, they came up to the need for healthy, eating, living. That's all correct. I'm not sure why they were more committed to after the test proposal and not before. I really think that that should be a general objective. But more importantly, I think the understanding of the network process is quite important. Network normally has business, labor, government, and human. The discussions that took place, what's the kind of policy, the public finance chamber, doesn't have community. So I think the important point made was the academic and the community wants to come. And then that will be allowed. So and by the way, there are other flaws in the NEDMED process. In that FAO, which represents a lot of beverage workers, were also not there because they fall under substance, the new federation of consumption. So the NEDMED discussion, in a sense, is not, doesn't have all the major players that take into account. Secondly, Vexa is right. You know, if the question was, do you support the text? I always say, when it comes to a text, you don't go to the turkey and say, do you support the system? No business can vote for the text. The shareholders will take action against that. Rather, the question was, and I agree with you, that the issue was then to mediate the impact. The right of the state to impose the tax is a very powerful weapon, and now what it is, we have quite a labor consultation process. And this process has lasted 2 years. Yes, a lot of the suggestions that Webster says were presented, but by and large, the agreement is the consensus that emerged. I think that to suggest now that they're not part of the agreement is really not done in good faith. Yes, the agreement doesn't say that you support the tax. We never asked you that question. But you know you'd be opposed to it all the time. But having gone through the process, a tax is a tax. We have the socioeconomic study, we have gone through the job losses, and I think that the NEDMED process and you'll be happy to hear, might not have had different spheres of government, but certainly had quite an intergovernmental cooperative approach, because you had trade and industry, you had the Department of Agriculture, you had the Department of Health, the Department of Economic Development. In fact, they had led in this process, where we looked at a number of alternate uses for sugar. There's a task team, like before pointed out, that will try and look at how you deal with jobs to the extent that they are lost. Bear in mind, there are also labor processes that take place, that we call labor law. So we will monitor to the extent to which there are job losses. But, Chair, if the concern of the committee was job losses, then you would say don't impose the 45% step. In fact, don't impose anything. That logic I think is very poor. Any tax will have an impact on jobs, but one's got to look at the costs and the benefits of it.
to the room, as a matter of the position of the second system, that we cannot do this for. Well, we have to do, because that's a lot of data we have to How are you?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.